KXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vladimir Putin says he's planning on an in-person meeting with President Trump that could take place in the United Arab Emirates. The news a day before a deadline for a ceasefire deal with Ukraine. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Despite Trump's current optimism, he's still threatening economic sanctions against Russia this Friday, including penalties on countries who purchase Russian oil.
President Trump's higher tariffs went into effect on dozens of U.S. trading partners this morning. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
So far, many companies have not yet passed along the full impact on tariffs to consumers. Economists expect that they will do so more and more over the next few months.
Eli Lilly reports participants in a late-stage study of its obesity pill lost almost 12% of their body fat in about a year and a half. Medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
We do not yet know how much they're planning to price this at, but we do anticipate it should be less than the injectables. How much less remains to be seen.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Celebrating 1 year of the state's home energy rebate programs, Wisconsin received $149 million under the Biden-era Inflation Reduction Act for the Home Efficiency Rebate and Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate programs. The programs are administered by the State Public Service Commission. Governor Tony Evers says more than $2 million in rebates have been distributed, helping Wisconsin families make home upgrades and keep more money in their pockets. Around $75 million each went to the HERE and HOMES programs for efficiency improvements. A multi-day legal hearing began in Portage County on Tuesday. The case concerns one of Wisconsin's largest dairy farms and water quality issues near the village of Nelsonville. Gordondale Farms, a concentrated animal feeding operation, or CAFO, is located near the village. Five current and former neighbors of the CAFO are represented by Midwest Environmental Advocates. They are challenging a state-issued permit they say fails to protect public health. Over the past 7 years, Nelsonville residents have been asking the DNR to require transparency and accountability from Gordondale Farms. The groundwater around the farms now has dangerously high levels of nitrate contamination. This pollution poses serious health risks, especially for infants and pregnant people. Exposure has been linked to certain cancers, including colon cancer. The lawsuit centers on changes made by the Wisconsin DNR that rolled back key environmental safeguards. This happened after Gordondale Farms filed a legal challenge to the DNR's authority to require groundwater monitoring at CAFOs to prevent contamination. Midwest Environmental Advocates says that legal challenge ended in a closed-door settlement that weakened the groundwater monitoring requirements. The hearing will continue over several days this week. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Pack prepares for the Jets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the New York Jets this Saturday night. Are the players looking forward to playing in their first preseason game? Wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Yeah, it's always excitement, especially going back out in Lambeau, man, like going out to see the fans and, you know, just that environment. It's a different feel. You get chills and I'm excited, you know, for whatever that may be, you know, going out there. I'm excited for it.
Baseball, the Brewers have the night off before opening a weekend series against the Mets. The Crew beat the Braves 5-4 to complete a three-game sweep in Atlanta. Pat Murphy praised Jose Quintana and the pitching staff after the victory.
Bullpen was special tonight. Q, six-inning start. You look at that lineup. Eli White is as hot as anybody. He's got four homers in the last five games or something. Albies, Olsen, Ozuna, Murphy, Profar. Harris, those guys are all have been an all-star or whatever. That's a good lineup.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. We'll have highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms possible tonight. Lows around 68. Some heavy rain possible in areas. Friday, showers and storms. Otherwise, mostly sunny, warm, and humid. Highs around 90. The heat index into the mid-90s.
Right now, it's 62. where working people come to talk. It's The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by YouTube influencer Wheezy Waiter, a.k.a. Craig Benzine, director of No Packers, No Life. Then Savannah Schindler from the Beloit Cub Open joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Back with you at 8:06. Good morning. It's a Thursday morning, August 7th. Nice to have you along here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Parker Olson producing us down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot here in just a sec, and then we will be rejoined by Todd Allba of the conveniently named Todd Allba Show, weekday afternoons 2 to 4, and Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, who is visiting family in Lithuania. And at 75 cents a minute, I can't keep putting quarters into this payphone for much longer, so Brittany's going to give us the abbreviated version of a forecast that is going to get hot and a little bit stormy in spots, Brittany, yes?
Yes, it is. So we've got the air quality going down, the allergies and grass pollen going up. We've also got the heat and humidity rising. It's going to turn warm and muggy today. We're looking at highs in the mid to upper 80s, feeling like the low 90s in some spots. Mixed skies to start, but then we've got storms starting maybe around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, far southwest, kind of headed towards the Madison area around 8 and then towards Milwaukee around midnight. Few of those could linger early tomorrow morning in the Fox Valley, and then another late morning round of storms expected by Lake Superior before even more start to spark potentially tomorrow evening. Tomorrow, of course, we are looking at highs anywhere from the upper 80s to low 90s. Heat index could reach 100 degrees. We've got an extreme heat watch right now into far northwest parts of the state, and then we've got severe weather on tap potentially for Saturday and into Sunday.
Guys, what do you think? Why do we keep joking about me or Todd running for governor? You think we can get behind Brittany for this? I mean, wouldn't people vote for her over us?
Heck yeah.
All right.
I'm down.
Let's get the drafting.
By the way, Brittany, hot and stormy were Trigby's two old girlfriends at UW River or UW Eau Claire.
Moving on now, right. Brittany. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Anyway, while there is still an FCC license in place, let me tell you that you can subscribe to our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner there. Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, and joining us live from Lithuania, and Todd Allba here as well. You can catch Trygve and Todd Wednesday afternoons, along with yours truly, when we appear right at the top of the show at 2 o'clock. So, Trygve, again, thank you for being part of an early morning radio show by it being 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Lithuania right now. And let's start with, because you know we don't get to hear you on this show very often, and people haven't frankly heard about the Lincoln Project for a while. So can you give us the quick elevator pitch on what is the Lincoln Project? What is it doing like nowadays?
Right. I mean, we, you know, from the outset, we've really tried to stay on mission. There have been two things that the Lincoln Project is focused on. One is stopping Donald Trump, and the second is pushing back on Trumpism and extremism more generally. And, you know, a lot of what we do What people know us for is the ads where Donald Trump gets really angry at us and threatens to sue us, or I guess now that he's back in the White House, do whatever worse things. But what they don't see, and you guys know this, is we spend an awful lot of time working and doing ads that are driven, as we are now, at small subsets of the electorate, because elections really end up being about small numbers. In a state like Wisconsin, you know, there's probably 40 or 50,000 households that typically decide how elections go. And one of the reasons why I'm excited to be on your show, Pat, and it's kind of like coming home, being a River Falls boy, is, you know, you speak, as does Todd Show, right into the heart of where elections in Wisconsin are decided and thereby elections in the United States. It's in places like Eau Claire County, Richland Center, River Falls. Those are the places where 3 or 4 points matter, and we spend a lot of time targeting ads directly into those voters. Quite frankly, not just during elections, but as news cycles and events are unfolding.
And I think part of that, Todd, as a former Republican staffer in the state capitol and now a former Republican as well, is that there is still in you, in me, in your former boss, former state senator Dale Schultz, there is still that kernel of, crazy as it sounds, service, which is really at the heart of democracy and an honest government, is actually wanting to serve people, not just win elections and power. And you keep doing your show in the afternoons because you still see that in people in Wisconsin, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you've been with us, Pat. I always appreciate it when you take time out of your busy schedule to travel with us, whether it's Northern Wisconsin State Fair or downtown Eau Claire. And Trigvy and I have been all over the state, as has Jane, Matt, Eric, Greg Bach. And I think the key is just listen to people, right? I mean, Bob Uecker once told, I think, Elaine Grindle right before he died or at some point in their career, he said, don't be looking at the stat sheet all the time. Don't be looking at the numbers. The game's out there. Call, just watch the popcorn guy messing around with somebody in the stands. Look at the guys messing around with each other, you know, joking around, trying to steal base. That's where the game is at. And I think that the more we just listen to people around the state, we'll figure out what's important to people. And I heard Joe Zepecki, I know he's been on your show, Pat. He was on Jane's show yesterday, and I think he nailed it. He's like, Donald Trump ran lowering prices and a better economy. Neither one of those two things have happened, and we have to, if we want to win, as Trigvy says, keep hammering at that and don't pay attention to the periphery.
So Trigvy has a newsletter on Substack called Searching for Hope, and you can get it over at trigvyolson.substack.com. Trigvy is TRYGVE. And he spells Olson the proper way, OLSON, Parker,
hey,
with an EN. And you can catch Todd's show weekdays from 2 to 4. But I want to get to the gist of your newsletter there, Trigvy, Searching for Hope. Because, again, in all the work you've done in other countries with groups that have been promoting democracy, you've had to take those lessons and write about them as they apply here at home. And I can't get you to sum up, you know, 6 months worth of newsletters in one fell swoop here. But what is it that you're trying to convey to either Americans or Americans who are still involved in politics, as far as what are the steps that they can do to ensure that we don't see further erosion of democracy?
Yeah, I think the most important one, and Searching for Hope, the title, it is an ode to my oldest daughter, who unfortunately was stillborn at 38 weeks and is buried not far from here in Lithuania. Her name meant hope in Lithuanian. But it really is deeper than that, in the sense that when you think about, and this is what I learned from working in 40 countries with those fighting autocrats, the game that we're in, not the one that we know of electoral democracy, but the game we're in is one between autocracy and democracy. And that is really about one side wanting to impose fear of each other and the other side trying to impose faith and hope in each other. And democracy, for it to work, you can't just say that everybody on the other side is evil. And quite frankly, I was looking at a Facebook post from a friend of mine in River Falls, somebody who I've known since I was 3 or 4, and she's active in Republican politics. And she got going sort of like Scott Walker, the talking point, Democrats have left Texas, and we know how that is in Wisconsin. The irony in that, and what people have to ask themselves, and I wish she would, is if the other side were doing it, if Democrats were redistricting in California unilaterally to keep the Congress from becoming Republican, they'd be going bananas, just as Democrats are right now. And democracy never works unless you can put yourself in the other person's perspective. And for individuals, and I really, every day I give people three things that they can do from the lessons that I learned around the world. The most important thing with that, each of us has to take inventory of what agency we have, and say, how can we take that and apply it to this battle that we're in? And for some, it might be whatever their area of expertise is. If they know a lot about technology, figuring out a way to use technology to help in the battle. If they know how to write, maybe it's writing letters to the editor. Maybe it's running for the school board and doing something locally. But everybody has to look at, where do I have agency to be part of the solution, and where can I find hope in what I can bring? Because that's what democracy is really about. It's about all of us coming together and being the sum being greater than the parts.
And really, truly, in your newsletter, you do have these, calls to action, three things you can do today. And they're always outlined so well. One of the, the one from just yesterday, the democracy building toolbox and why we need it here now. And those tools include training, institutional strengthening, material assistance, coalition building, public opinion research, technology, and information operations. And then the series that you wrote right before this was about AI and how AI can go both ways in terms of helping or hurting democracy. Can you give me the very short summary of how you think AI should best be approached from the standpoint of strengthening democracy?
Yeah, I can give you around the edges, and I don't know whether I'm supposed to do this or not, but I will. We're going to, through Lincoln Democracy Institute, and quite frankly, I've been working on it. We're going to have some exciting stuff coming out, trying to use AI to empower people to be better positioned to interact in and around democracy, and to take control of their agency within their own families and sets of friends. The reality is, having done a lot of work with AI, and I never imagined I sort of fell into it, I understand the notion, and people have a right to be leery of it. Because back when I was working on democracy building, the internet was, daily here. In Lithuania, the internet was just coming to fore, Twitter, YouTube, all of that. And everybody was talking about how that's going to empower democracy. And it hasn't. In fact, it's been highly detrimental to democracy. And the reason for that is, quite frankly, you have a lot of oligarchs who have decided that they were going to use technology. Their business model is based on, I'm going to take people's information and use it to sell them stuff.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, look at what we've seen with Elon Musk just hoovering things up here. I'll give the last word to you. It's all about searching for hope is the name of the newsletter. But I got to tell you, when it comes to AI, I have a tough time seeing the hope in the future. How about you? How are you feeling?
Here's what I would say.
Well, okay, real quick.
AI and technology is agnostic. It's neither good or evil. Mm-hmm. But people are, and ultimately AI or the internet or social media really can be used to empower people,
Todd, let me jump in there before I hit the break. You want to add anything final to his thoughts or?
This is why I love travel around Trigvi, because we goof around a lot, but he's seen a heck of a lot. He knows a lot. He's really connected. So look at the Substack, because you'll find hope. And at the end of the day, if we lose that, then everything's gone. So I appreciate what Trigvi's doing, and appreciate what you're doing, Pat.
Well, and that's why I wanted to make sure that people know, catch these two on Wednesdays when Trigvi shows up on Todd Alba's show weekday afternoons. Trigvi, safe travels. Thanks for joining us. Get out to the beach there. Enjoy that sunny day that you finally are getting and that you finally deserve. And Todd, we'll talk to you this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Pat. I'll even get up to do your show sometime, but not too often.
No, but not too often. Yeah, let's not get crazy here.
He's
exactly.
Not a morning guy.
No. Sean O'Malley's coming up next to talk about your money and the markets, followed by Joe Zepecki. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Thanks to Nancy Stencil for joining us this morning. And Ian, and that is Ian Welsh across the way. Again, good morning to you, Jim. And after talking to Nancy for the last two segments, I got a few ideas, and I want to share with the listeners, share with you, maybe get your thoughts as well as we go into 2026. When you look at where the Democratic Party is, and I think that the Democratic Party is got its issues along with the Republican Party led by Donald Trump. But you look at some of the national polling when it comes to the Democrats, its approval rating is underwater, and I can see some reasons why. I think some of the leadership has not been as bold as it needs to be in this era, that we can't just sit back and say, well, Donald Trump will destroy himself, or in the state of Wisconsin that Governor Evers is more popular than Robin Voss. I think,
as we go into 2026, as we go into potentially an opportunity for Democrats in the state of Wisconsin to perhaps get majorities in the state assembly and the state senate, as we go into a national landscape where you have a very, I would say, unpopular president at this point, and unless he pivots in some way, which I doubt he will do, that he will continue to be unpopular into 2026, there could be an opportunity for the Democrats to try to regain control of the United States Congress and the United States Senate. But you can't do that being milquetoast. We have to see a Democratic Party that is willing to stand on real issues. And off the air, as we were saying goodbye to Nancy, I said it during the on-the-air segment as well, that at this point, the Democrats have to be bold, and they also have to talk about the issues that affect the everyday lives of Americans, Wisconsinites, Marathon Countyites. Absolutely. And those are the bread and butter issues. The talk about rent, talk about affordability in housing, talk about affordability when you go to the supermarket.
Affordability with health care.
Yes. Child care. Again.
Affordability for schools.
And the idea that Democrats come out talking first about abortion rights or talk about other, what we call them, social issues. I am under the assumption that if you're somebody that is a Democrat, that you will be in favor of access to health care for women and other types of issues like that, that there are not votes to be had there. But the thing that could get people thinking, perhaps that are either independents or right-leaning independents or even conservatives, are the issues of the pocketbook, the issues of dollars and cents.
Exactly.
And I think that in recent years, more than a few years, but recent years, the Republican Party has really put their arms around the wealthiest of our society. That their entire economic platform is about making the rich richer, making sure that the business owner gets richer while squeezing the average worker, the average person in our country that is trying to make a living, be able to pay their bills, be able to raise a family, be able to buy a house. But the Republican Party is not receiving any pushback on it because Democrats need to talk about, again, middle class, lower middle class.
The everyday middle class citizens who work jobs, who have houses, who take care of their families, support their schools and the arts as well. Just the Republicans can't stick with the fact that we're going to give these tax cuts to the rich and hope the trickle down effect is going to, a drizzle down into the middle class people, because that is not an effective method. I'm sorry, all right, but
there
the trickle down effect really worked, the middle class would have a lot more money right now, but we don't. We have less money.
There have been studies done since the advent of supply-side economics, trickle-down economics, with the Reagan administration in the early 80s, over about four decades plus. It has not trickled down. It has not gone from the richest to the poorest to lift them up. It's just been going straight to the richest people. But the problem is, again, that Democrats need to reach out to these folks who may have voted for Donald Trump because they feel their lives are slipping away and feeling like nobody has the right answers.
Yeah.
You have to be bold. You have to be able to go into those areas and explain in a very real way why these policies would help lift many millions of people in their everyday lives. And frankly, Democrats have not done that well enough. I think that there are plenty of examples during the previous administration where Democrats did pass policies that did help the most people. But you have to also have a communications aspect to it that allows folks to realize it as well. So again, just hoping that the unpopularity of some of the policies being shown by Donald Trump and the Republicans going into next year, I don't think will be enough for Democrats to win.
Yeah, we can't wait for Trump to destroy himself. We have to stop him
before he destroys himself and the country with it. Because I think, and I could be wrong here, but I would argue the point that if he goes down, he's taking the country with us.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And when you see folks like Chuck Schumer and other leaders nationally in the Democratic Party not seem to realize that in actionable ways, that becomes very, very frustrating.
It's really sad.
It really is. The time is 8:29. Going to try to stay undefeated with your number for the day quiz coming up in our final segment.
Yeah, the pressure's really on.
Information update coming up, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. A 52-year-old man in Portage County has been sentenced to 16 years in prison for sexual assault of a child. Nicholas Fugue, formerly of Plover, was convicted of one count of sexual assault following a two-day jury trial in June. After that, Fugue pleaded guilty to other charges related to repeated sexual assault of another child victim. In total, Fugue is sentenced to 16 years in prison, followed by 4 years of extended supervision and ordered to register as a sex offender for life. Members of Wisconsin's Urban Search and Rescue Task Force are back home after a two-week deployment to Texas, according to a bulletin from the Wisconsin Department of Emergency Management. They were there for search and rescue efforts following severe flash flooding, deployed as part of a national emergency compact that lets states share resources. The team returned to Wisconsin late last month and included personnel from fire departments in Antigo, Appleton, Green Bay, Menominee, Sheboygan, and several more. Meanwhile, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says a Trump administration move to cut disaster mitigation funding has been temporarily blocked. FEMA ended the disaster preparedness program in April. It goes by BRIC, Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities. The program helps communities prepare for disaster by building tornado shelters or updating power lines. Attorneys general in 19 other states are opposed to the cancellation of the program. There's one more day to register to help track aquatic invasive species in the state. This event is part of a statewide effort by the Wisconsin DNR to raise awareness about the dangers that aquatic invasive species pose to the state's waterways. Volunteers will gather at training sites across the state to learn how to locate and identify the aquatic invasive species and catalog the findings to help the agency track their spread. If you're interested, you'll need to register by Friday on the DNR's website. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tulsa King is somehow still on the air and we'll get a season 3. Half kidding. It's a good guilty pleasure if sometimes you just need to watch good, bad TV and can still stomach Sylvester Stallone. The trailer for the new season is available now. In season 3, Stallone will look much different as he ran out of steroids. It's possible. It's not all bad, though. Samuel Jackson is part of the cast for the new season. Season 3 of Tulsa King drops September 21st on Paramount+. The practice of using loud noises to scare wolves away from cattle is not new. Practice of using an Oscar-nominated film to do so, however, is. It's called wolf hazing and oftentimes involves a loudspeaker that broadcasts gunshots or fireworks. According to the New York Post, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, to help protect cattle and keep predatory wolves away, is now using scenes from the film Marriage Story that involves shouting and arguing, which reminds me, I need to call my wife. What they should really do is show Rob Schneider movies, which will just put both species to sleep. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. We'll have highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms possible tonight. Lows around 68. Some heavy rain possible in areas. Friday, showers and storms. Otherwise, mostly sunny, warm, and humid. Highs around 90. The heat index into the mid-90s.
Currently, 63 degrees.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. As summer winds down, we're still enjoying the outdoors. We'll be joined by Casey Hicks of the Wisconsin Conservation Voters next time to talk about how we preserve Wisconsin's outdoor heritage. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Joe Zepecki is waiting in the wings, where we will talk Wisconsin politics and a sigh of relief that gubernatorial candidate Bill Berrien no longer is sounding like he'd want to tax goods from other states coming across state lines. I think he has properly had an explanation of tariffs, and we'll talk about that and some other weirdness in the news coming up with Joe in just a sec. First, the opening bell has sounded on Wall Street and across the markets. And people are, investors are kind of baking in what President Trump is already doing with his trade war. But I've got a thought on that right after Sean tells us what exactly is happening with China here. This whole thing was, well, not this whole thing, but so much of what Trump is doing is aimed at China. Is it hurting China to this point?
Well, it has been having an impact on China. But remember, the whole reason behind the tariffs, according to Trump's explanation, is to make sure that, you know, we weren't just giving away money to other countries. Now, this is a wrong narrative, but that was the explanation, right? That we were running a trade deficit and we needed to stop that. We needed to bring everything back home so that we stopped running a trade deficit. But here's the news. While, yes, the tariffs have had an impact on China exporting, all that's happened is that you've replaced China with other largely Asia-Pacific countries' exports, namely Taiwan and Vietnam. So the trade deficit, the gap between exports and imports, has largely remained pretty constant, even though it's gone down a little bit in both cases. And now those countries that are providing us or exporting goods to us, the names have changed a little bit. So China's given up their market share and given it to Taiwan and Vietnam predominantly.
Yeah, and they're still shipping goods, even more goods, to the European Union as well. Meanwhile, American consumers are paying these tariffs. The last note that I wanted to hit was part of the reason markets seemed optimistic was because Apple made this announcement that it was going to make a large investment in domestic manufacturing, which, again, has been what Trump has been saying is the whole role is to get, you know, to bring back more manufacturing to America, to which I've got 2 points. One, get ready for the $2,000 iPhone, if that were to happen. But secondly, I don't think it's even going to come to that because, Sean, I've been to this rodeo before. When I hear, and it's not just Apple, but when I hear, oh, yeah, we're going to bring all this manufacturing to the U.S. that's normally done overseas, one word comes to mind, Foxconn. You know, you can say you're going to bring this stuff in to get better treatment today, but I actually want to see the assembly line cranking like Foxconn never did before my skepticism goes away.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a perfect example right here, local in Wisconsin. How many billions of dollars were supposed to be spent on that project that never materialized?
No.
You know, it's everything's talk until something happens. So even, you know, Apple's announcement, well, positive certainly for the job situation in the U.S., which could certainly use the help, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. Number one. Number two, we don't know where it's going to happen and how it's going to impact the overall economic picture. And three, it's, you know, while positive, it's really kind of just a small piece of a very large puzzle. And a lot of that puzzle is still, you know, in terms of manufacturing and other types of activities are still going overseas.
Sean O'Malley reporting this time from beautiful Bayfield. Get on the boat at some point real soon, and we'll talk to you next week.
Will do, Pat.
Take care. Thank you, Sean. You can get our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. You can get our Sunday morning newsletter as well about Wisconsin politics, where I ask, what do you think blue states should do about red state gerrymandering? What's happening in Texas right now? Should states like California retaliate and monkey around with their congressional maps as well? Because, you know, democracy. Or not sink to their level because things only accelerate and get worse from there. So sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com and be part of our Sunday morning question of the week. Here's Joe Zepecki now to talk Wisconsin politics, and we'll pick up Joe on tariffs and trade because according to an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, gubernatorial candidate Bill Marion, I think, now understands that tariffs are not something you do from state to state. Although I thought it was funny that he was questioning where that even came from. Dude, we played the tape. The WMTV reporter asked you about state-based tariffs, and you indicated in your answer that that could be a good thing for Wisconsin. I feel like it's a campaign staffer's nightmare when you have to pull the guy aside and go, boss, here's how that really should have gone.
Bill Berrien's whole campaign is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who believes he is so much smarter than everybody else, that he can just erase his entire political history and cozy up to Donald Trump and all will be well. And I'm referring to this ridiculous interview he did with Dan Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at the Wisconsin State Fair. So to provide a little context, like, Berrien is a guy who used to be what I would call like a reasonable conservative. He wanted to move on from Trump. He supported Nikki Haley to the tune of more than $30,000 between he and his wife, and was calling for generational change within the Republican Party. And now that Daddy Trump is still in charge of the Republican Party, Berrien is making an absolute fool of himself, groveling to try and become like Trump and probably try to win his endorsement, because that's the ticket to the Republican nomination. And so when Bice asks him what he thinks about his past support for Nikki Haley, it's one bad answer, it's two bad answers. And then he literally says to Bice, as Dan writes it up in the Journal Sentinel today, "Why don't you just put down that I regret those contributions?" And what Mr. Berrien doesn't appear to understand is, like, as much as people dislike politicians, they dislike phonies even more than that. And so I, like, yes, the campaign staffer side of my brain did have a modicum of like horror for whoever is advising Berrien and working with him. But this is not a serious individual. That's not a serious way to talk about candidates you have supported in the past. And he can't remake who he is. People are going to smell that phoniness from a mile away.
You know, last week I asked you about Democratic candidates for governor and why we hadn't seen a big crush of them right away. You had this great answer about, you know, after the first one, there really isn't any value. You can announce on your own timeline. But let me tweak the question for the Republican candidates and why we haven't seen more Republicans get in. Is part of that reason because Republicans who might consider running for governor are so put off by the notion that the only way they're going to win is to be the one who sucks up the most to Donald Trump?
Well, I think some of these Republican potential candidates, like Tom Tiffany, as much as I might disagree with Mr. Tiffany on basically every policy issue, he's not a dumb man, right? And so there's two factors. You have to go full Trump to win a Republican primary right now. And every indicator is that Trump is going to be a boat anchor around the political necks of every Republican next year. Trump's approval rating has dropped into the 30s. The jobs numbers are bad. The economy appears to be stalling out because of all the chaos and disruption that this president is enacting. And so if you are someone like Tom Tiffany, who's got a pretty good job being a member of Congress, why would you give up that $178,000 a year salary to suck up to Trump and then have to deal with the political peril that Trump causes for you
and probably lose next year, and then you're out of a job entirely. So Republicans are in a tough spot, and it means they're not going to get very good candidates. And it I think it segues into this insanity with Van Orden.
Well, allow us to go there then, because yeah, like, again, we've got nothing but weirdness going here, and it is, in this case, in Derek Van Orden, the Journal Sentinel headline, Derek Van Orden escalates Mark Pocan feud by posting photo of a naked man in a ski mask with a sex toy. Not The Onion, boys and girls. Actual headline, Derek Van Orden thinks it's funny to put up a picture of a naked man wearing a ski mask and carrying a toy tied to a walking stick.
I'm not sure he thought it was funny. I think it is possible Mark Pocan is so in Van Orden's kitchen that everywhere he looks, every time he turns a corner, Congressman Van Orden sees Mark Pocan. And my reason, my rationale for that is, like, he didn't just tweet it out and let it go. He kept going back to it. Like, I think it's possible Van Orden actually thinks that's Mark Pocan. And what Van Orden's explanation would be for why he's looking at pictures of naked men on Twitter aside, like, Pocan is clearly living rent-free in Derek Van Orden's head. And if you're Van Orden, you know you took a terrible bill that is hitting your constituents, right? On their health care, on their cost of living. You know that if you're Derek Van Orden, you have refused to do the right thing to stand up for Western Wisconsin businesses and manufacturers by saying no when it comes to this tariff nonsense. And rather than, I guess, wallow in the political unpopularity of all of these votes that he's taking, he thinks his job as a congressman is to just try to change the subject, even when it comes down to letting all of his constituents and the entire world know that he's scouring X for pictures of naked men. Okay, that's a choice.
It is a choice. Here's another, because our common theme here isn't just the weirdness, but the distractions that they're intended to also evoke, whether it is, you know, another sternly worded letter to Canada about their wildfires, or this group of Republican legislators sending a letter to the mayor of Milwaukee saying, hey, do something about the crime in your city, to which the mayor says, here's the crime's down in Milwaukee. But, you know, like I said before, the Swiss could only wish that their timepieces had as much precision and had as much predictability as Republican legislators playing the Milwaukee card as we approach an election year.
Yeah, well, they think that's better politically than having to try to explain why they're all for cutting $1 trillion for Medicaid. It's easier to talk about headlines in Milwaukee than it is to explain why you just added $4 trillion to the national debt. It's easier to talk about, you know, the issue du jour of the day or the trending Twitter topic than it is trying to explain why it's okay for Donald Trump to just willy-nilly fire a statistician who is telling us the truth about the American economy. All of that, like, they've lost their mind is the only really way I can say it. It's like, they think that's good politics to just, like, try and change the subject because they know they can't defend the actions they are taking in Congress or in Madison. And so it's just our uniquely stupid American age.
It's been that kind of a week, really. We're talking with Joe Zepecki. Some of you have a local news break coming up. And if that's the case, let me tell you that tomorrow we're going to have Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets. We'll have Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Jennifer Scholze, and Mark Jacob will be along. So will Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens with sports. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Overcast skies here in downtown Wausau, temperature around 70 degrees. Hopefully your Thursday is off to a terrific start. Coming up tomorrow during our local segments, we'll be talking to Christine Daniels as we do the first week of every month from the Good News Project. She'll be with us in the first hour of the program. And we are also planning, hoping to have a return. Because in the past, back a while back, it's been quite a while, actually. Mm-hmm. We used to have a guy named Paul Micklick join us on Fridays,
yeah,
talking sports, and the plan is to have him back as we are have a lot of excitement going on in the world of sports because the Milwaukee mm-hmm. Brewers continue to be very, very successful. The Packers have their first preseason game
coming up against the New York Jets on Saturday. And college football beginning underway. And, of course, he has started practice as the head football coach at Newman Catholic. So the plan is for Paul Miklik to be with us in the second hour of the program as well. So
awesome.
Bring him back for Fridays with Miklik, and hopefully that will work out, and we'll be able to talk a little bit of sports tomorrow as well.
Very good.
Meantime, there's actually a story I wanted to mention that is a sports story, but also I would call it a DEI story because – I think that, opportunity is vitally important, and I don't think having a little bit of diversity within certain jobs is a bad thing if the person has done everything they needed to do to earn that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing that in Major League Baseball coming up starting on Saturday, because there has never been a female umpire in Major League Baseball. Never in all the years of Major League Baseball, going back to 1876 with the start of the National League. Well, genuine history will be happening on Saturday. Major League Baseball will have its first regular season game umpired by a woman. Her name is Jen Powell, and she will be called up to work this weekend series between the Marlins of Miami and Atlanta. She will work both ends of Saturday's doubleheader and the Sunday series finale. And she has done the work. The 48-year-old Powell has began umpiring in affiliated baseball in 2016 in rookie ball.
Nice.
She reached AAA 2 years ago. Last year, she became the first female ump to work a spring training game in 17 years. She was named a AAA crew chief last year as well, which put her on the call-up list. And prior to her baseball umpiring career, she had umpired NCAA softball from 2010 to 2016. She was invited to the Umpire Training Academy after attending an MLB tryout camp in August of 2015. And before any of that, she played softball at Hofstra University.
Very cool.
So,
well, congratulations to her.
Absolutely right. And it brings me back to the whole idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It drives people on the right crazy, but they talk about having, you know, basically it all being based on merit, when at the same time you see the sons of famous people get jobs as vice presidents of their baseball team or
nepotism, right?
Nepotism. This is a case of a woman doing everything right. And you know there's still going to be some folks out there, oh, it's all about DEI. It's all about, you know, just wanting to have a... No.
Has the experience. She put in the effort. Yes. She deserves this.
And also, giving opportunities is not wrong.
No, it is not.
It is not wrong. And I think this is another example of where having some diversity is something that's a good thing for baseball. And it's a good thing for little girls who may have a dream of being involved in baseball in some way.
To see role models like this.
Exactly.
It's very important because it shows them that if they want to do this and they put in the work and the time, they can make this happen.
You're exactly right. So congratulations. I think it's good for baseball. I think it's good for America itself as well. So there you go.
I think we need more stories like that.
Yep, we do. Something else that's good is the way you've started off this week with the number for the day quiz.
Yes.
And you have been red hot. You're 3 for 3.
Ooh.
You've already earned a passing grade. You've already earned a winning week. Now we're going to try for an A grade and still have that perfect week out there.
Ooh.
So
pressure's on.
All right. Our number for the day is a little bit of a goofy number today.
I'm okay with goofy.
Today's number for the day is the number of American men who injure themselves with kitchen gear every year.
Kitchen gear.
So American men who injure themselves with kitchen gear. So they're cooking.
Every year?
Or just, average number here of American men who injure themselves.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready. What are my choices?
17,392. 27,392. 37,392.
Those are some big numbers.
Yep. Yeah. Well, guys cook and they, work in the kitchen. So
a little over 17,000, 27,000, or 37,000.
Yep. 17,392, 27,392, 37,392.
Okay, I'm just going to go with my gut here, and I'm going to say final answer. I'm going to say a little over 27,000. Going with a little over 27,000, my final answer.
Number of American men who injure themselves with kitchen gear every year is 17,392.
Oh, the smallest number.
Yep.
I took a shot.
3 out of 4, so still a chance for an A grade tomorrow.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, have a great rest of your Thursday.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And we'll be back tomorrow. And coming up next is Matt and Air on Air on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vladimir Putin speaking in Moscow today on what he hopes will be an in-person meeting with President Trump, possibly in the United Arab Emirates. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
A U.S.-Russia summit would take place in the next few days, possibly as early as next week.
Mr. Trump's deadline for a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine is tomorrow. The president's new tariffs on dozens of trading partners took effect at midnight. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Consumers are likely to see price increases when they buy a car, whether it's domestic or imported, a computer, an electronic gadget, a toy, furniture.
The CDC says more than half of the calories Americans now consume come from ultra-processed foods like cookies and salty snacks that are linked to obesity, type 2 diabetes, cancer, and cardiovascular disease. Adults with the highest family incomes consumed fewer ultra-processed foods. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.